Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
All righty, let's go ahead and get this thing started. Things are a FUD in the Growing in Grace world. We can't figure out, well, Cap knows, but we can't figure out who's supposed to start this episode, so... I went ahead and did it. It's probably, I don't know if you ever listen, but we take turns if you ever notice this. Except, it might have gotten out of balance in the last few weeks. I don't know. Because I sent the files to Cap in the wrong order, maybe. I don't know yet. I have to go back and look. And I'm probably confusing more people than yeah. is necessary. I know
I
some people.
You're losing me too.
I know some people can handle it.
And by the time this is airing, of course, by the time this is released to the world, it'll all be water under the bridge, pretty much.
Water under the bridge, and all nothing to worry about.
Yes,
it was never anything to worry about in the first place.
A bridge under troubled water.
Like a bridge.
Hey, Joel, we were talking a while back about trying to tap into a younger audience, and you mentioned Taylor Swift. You know, maybe making more Taylor Swift references instead of the Flintstones or Gilligan's Island or something.
I apologize for that too.
And so here's one for you. So there's this ventriloquist, and he's doing a lot of dumb blonde jokes, right? And they were pretty rough. And in fact, Taylor Swift was there in the audience, and she stood up and started railing on the ventriloquist, just railing on his insensitivity toward blondes. And the guy was so taken back by it, he started to apologize. And she says, "You stay out of this. I'm talking to that little guy on your knee there." Of course, we love blondes here on the Growing in Grace podcast, just so you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think if we want to cater to a younger audience, that you're going the wrong direction, pal, with that kind of thing. Hey, did you ever watch Soap?
Am I really, though?
Well, I don't know. I recently got done watching almost the full series of Soap, you know, from the late 70s. It's a spoof of soap operas, but it was a comedy. Okay. Speaking of soap, have you cleansed yourself? There was a comment on one of my Facebook posts. This guy, he said, back in the day in church, the preacher would say, before you preach the message, before you deliver a message, you have to be clean before the Lord, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm like, has that person ever heard of the blood of Jesus?
Well, I've been there. I mean, I've been to where they are, and I didn't want to stay there any longer than I had to.
I hear you.
But, you know, that's a mentality that people have. If you're bound up with law, even with the best of intentions, you're going to start, you know, shaking your finger at people and saying, cleanse your hands, you sinners,
right,
and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's just going to happen. And I can totally relate to that. I mean, because I knew I was saved by grace, Joel. I knew it was supposed to be a gift, but somehow or another, I got it in my head, probably with the help of some other people, you know, whoever the church I went to or whatever. But I got it in my head that somehow this was up to me now. God saved me. Now he was handing off the salvation baton and say that you run the rest of this race. You do what's necessary to complete the job. I think there was I don't have it right in front of me, Joel. I'll see if I can remember it. One of my favorite lines in the Clash of the Covenants book was that Jesus didn't commission the disciples to go out and finish the job. But
yeah,
to tell people that the job was finished, and that's a paraphrase there. But and that's the mentality that we want to be in, that Jesus did everything necessary for people to come to salvation. and to be freed from, because how many people come to salvation? How many people come to believe? How many people come to relationship with God through Jesus Christ and still walk around? We've talked about this in a roundabout way, I guess, in the last several weeks, but how many of those people walk around in guilt and condemnation? What a miserable place to be, and I can relate to having been there. Like I said, it's okay to take a vacation there, but I wouldn't want to live there. I'm just joking. You shouldn't even want to take a vacation in a place called condemnation, ever.
A condemnation vacation is no station to to be in. Yeah, no doubt about that. It's condemnation has been done away with in Christ. I mean, it's been completely done away with. Obviously, Paul said there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That was Romans 8. I mean, so seven chapters, as we know it, in this epistle. So quite a lot of words had been written about the gospel, about what Christ had done, about the finished work of Jesus, about righteousness by faith, apart from works, apart from the law. A lot had been said leading up to chapter 8 in Romans, where Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. Now, of course, earlier versions of the Bible, so like King James and other versions, it will continue on, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Later versions of the Bible don't have that. But that's because, and I won't get deeply into this, but the more modern versions of the Bible are actually using older transcripts, older manuscripts, I should say, to translate, and those words were not in those earlier manuscripts. It's believed that, like in the process of the scribes copying the words of the Bible by hand, that over time somebody accidentally would have copied these words. Actually appear in verse 8:4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So it's thought that was an accident that was accidentally placed in verse 1. But either way, those words, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, man, that has, it's so funny. Because Paul says there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and then people put themselves under condemnation by misinterpreting, misreading what appears next, who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit, because they take the words who do not walk according to the flesh to mean who do not sin, who do not do those evil, sinful things, but who walk according to the Spirit. That is, you're out doing all the good things. You're going to church, you're reading your Bible, you're witnessing, and you're doing good works. And that's not at all what Paul meant, even in verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, walking according to the flesh is your own attempts at trying to be righteous. It's actually using the law or using your works to be justified before God. That's walking according to the flesh. And walking according to the Spirit, you know, in 2 Corinthians 3, where Paul talks about the ministry of death and condemnation, that's walking according to the flesh, according to the law. But the ministry of the Spirit is walking by faith, being justified by faith apart from works. So hopefully it'll clear things up for people, because it's funny, because Paul's point really here is that there's no condemnation. Condemnation has been done away with. You cannot be in Christ and be condemned. Once you believe, you've received the righteousness of God as a gift, as His gift, His very own righteousness given to you as a gift, and you cannot ever be condemned again, at least not by God. People might condemn you, but God doesn't.
Yeah, you're bringing up some good points here, and I'll just mention, because but a lot of people who read their Bible regularly might not really understand, that manuscripts were handwritten copies by a lot of different people over a period of many years. There's said to be like over 20,000 manuscripts copied by human hand. Mm-hmm. And that's why the magnificence of the Bible in the form that we have it in, even though we don't understand everything that's in there completely, we sometimes have a lot of different viewpoints on different things and all of that. But still, for it to come together in the form that it is, especially from the Old Testament to the New, it's an incredible document. And it's really a whole bunch of documents put together. It's not one book. It's a whole bunch of different books written over a long period of time. But it's just something to keep in mind, is that not everything is going to be exactly perfect in spite right. of what some religious people have told you about it. But this thing about condemnation, though, and being, and Paul said, after he said what he said there to open up chapter, what we know as chapter 8 in the book of Romans, he said, you are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. He told the Galatians in chapter 3, and I think you alluded to this recently, Joel, but he told the Galatians who were being persuaded by Jewish people who were trying to convince them that they needed to do some law keeping, even though they were Gentiles who had never been under the law. They were trying to convince them, well, if you're going to be a Jesus person, if you're going to be part of this movement, then you also are going to have to do some law stuff too. You know, you can't just be separate from the law, because, you know, the Jewish people, whether they were saved or not, they just believed that the law was a component of salvation. Mm-hmm. And here they were trying to tell these Gentiles that you need to do some of this, even though they weren't Jewish and had never been under the law. And Paul is writing to them saying, okay, I get that they tried to entice you into this stuff, but what's the deal? You came into the Spirit freely. Are you now aiming to be perfected by the flesh?
Right.
And that reference to flesh there isn't sinful stuff.
Right.
It's trying to do the right thing, whether it's law keeping or other moral codes. And so I think that's interesting as you think about what Paul is saying here in Romans and line it up a little bit there. And then Paul also goes on in Galatians chapter 5 to get into some specifics about flesh and spirit, and separate from law when you're walking in the Spirit and all of that. But condemnation is one of those things, Joel, we were talking about it, you and I, because sometimes we hear from people who are just ridden with guilt, and they think they've crossed the line. They think they've gone too far. They might think they're eternally condemned. When I hear that stuff, it makes me feel burdened.
Mm-hmm.
What they're going through. So when you're in a place where you feel like, man, I just don't think God loves me anymore, or I don't think I'm saved anymore. I don't know that I'm going to make the cut for eternity. I mean, that's not good news. That's just religious stuff out there. And you know, sometimes you just want to shake them by the shoulders and say, stop listening to the enemy and start listening to what God is saying about you.
Yeah, because he's going to give you the truth. God is, and the devil, the enemy, is going to leave you confused. God doesn't confuse you. The truth is perfect. You know, Jesus, of course, himself is the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth that comes from him about the gospel, about who you are in him, it doesn't fluctuate. It's solid and secure. You are secure in him. And because of that one sacrifice of Jesus, your sins have been taken away, and there is no condemnation. There is nothing left to condemn because your sins have been taken away. We tend to look at what we see. I know that I just messed up. I know that I did this thing or that thing, or I keep doing this thing over and over again, or I know that I'm not doing enough. I feel like I'm not doing enough. We see what we're doing or not doing, But what we miss in that is that the cross of Jesus Christ did away with all of that. We don't have to worry about all that stuff. We can live in freedom, not having to worry about all that stuff. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and he's not talking about like a law of commandments, but just the principle of the, you know, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's by grace, through faith, through what Jesus has done. It's not through what we've done. You're not condemned or not condemned because of what you do or don't do. There is no condemnation because of what Christ has done. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, a person trying to be good enough could just never do it. The flesh was weak and that it just could never do enough. It couldn't ever do enough. You can't ever do enough. You can't. You can never get, if you're trying to do enough before God, you can never do it. You can never get there. And so the good news is that you can stop trying because Jesus already did. What Jesus already did was sufficient for God. So what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And on account of sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, that is, according to trying to do right and refrain from wrong, those who don't walk according to that way, but rather according to the Spirit. And the way of the Spirit is by grace through faith. And there's no condemnation if you sometimes fluctuate between not knowing the truth and wondering where you stand with God. You know, we talk about how you can be free from that. I know that it's still a struggle for people, but even if you're not fully settled in all of this stuff, there's still no condemnation for you. God is still for you, and he's building you up in his truth.
Joel, just to reiterate what you just said, verse 3 of Romans 8, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So when things are going a little bit rough and you're feeling like, man, I don't know, you know, I'm in this doing mentality, just remember two words, God did. So the next time something whispers in your ear that isn't necessarily the Spirit and it says you're not doing enough, just remember, God did.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.